What if kittens played the glockenspiel? And what if unicorns were real? What if you could fly or travel back in time? We welcome you to What If World. What if world? This is What If World.
Greetings, adventurers, and welcome back to Guilds and Goblins, the What If World show, where your questions and ideas
combine with our real-life in-the-moment dice rolls
to bring you off-the-cuff adventures.
I'm Zach Jamaloo, your host, and you just heard my friends Scully the Squid and Lola Rabbit. I'm also joined by my sister ZZ. And can you three quickly introduce your characters? Sure, hey, I'm ZZ.
But my character's name is Stream. They're a Unitar holographer. It means they use sort of a magic science camera to take pictures that then they can recreate in 3D.
And I'm Lola Rabbit. My character's name is Amara Stormtide. Kind of a detective, definitely a baby ocean dragon, and always interested in our long-lost dragon treasure, of course.
Wait, really? It never comes up.
Yeah, well, maybe we should go hunting treasure more often. Pursue my interest for a change.
Okay, Scully, your turn.
I'm Scully the Squid, of course. And my character's name is a Pane Pasta. They love Italian cooking because they're a chef. And also a pastapus, like a giant pasta monster, also octopus.
Now this is episode 15 of the Cryptid Kids campaign. It's also set on the world of Berend, where most of the other Guilds and Goblins adventures were held. But even if you haven't listened to every single G&G episode, we've got you covered with a quick recap. ZZ, would you do the honors? Sure thing, bro. So the Cryptid Kids started their adventure in the future, where a giant technological egg ship was capturing people in the egg tricks.
Of course, we thwarted Squirrel-a-meaties, who was Zach-a-meaties but turned into a squirrel somehow.
And we figured out that the next squirt we needed to thwart would be Turtok, who was also turned into an evil squirrel somehow.
Only trouble is, Turtok had time travel powers, and she showed up right then and there, sending us all back in time. Of course, we weren't all exactly working together at our best in that moment.
And thus, we were sent back in time to three different points in the history of one city.
Stream arrived the furthest in the past, of the pirate port city of Scumhive. Naturally, she went to look up time travel at the local library or bookshop, owned by none other than Zoranoke Saltroot.
He's a famous pirate adventurer who wielded the Sword of If, but seems to have also been trapped back in time. But Penny Pasta didn't know anything about that, because they'd been trapped a little farther in the future, where the icy pirate city was finally thawing under torrential and constant downpours. So Penny Pasta started making gelato to help all the icy pirate people to keep from melting in the rain, and then they went and started rebuilding the pirate port for them.
Of course, Amara Stormtide, the most qualified to solve this weird time mystery, was the last to show up, living in this weird pirate city when all the ports had been built and it was summer again.
And where last we left off, Amara Stormtide had gone out to study the ocean, being an ocean dragon, only to find an immense bone kraken pulling itself through the slime sea straight toward Scumhive. When we jump back into our adventure, we'll find out if our adventurers can reunite with Amara in her present, defeat the Bone Kraken,
and maybe even get back to the future.
We'll see. And we'll also find out a few of the what-if questions that inspired this story as we go along. Your story starts after a quick break. Welcome back, adventurers. We have Stream, the Unitar holographer, stuck farthest in the past, in a time when Berend was still covered in ice and snow. Then there's Penny Pasta, the Italian chef, was a few months ahead in the future when the spell was broken and the slowly thawing Berend was being drenched in an ever-ending rain. Finally, there's you, Amara Stormtide, the Ocean Dragon Detective, and Scum Hive's present, where the Bone Kraken is making its way toward the city.
Wait a second, brother. Is this a challenge? Even though we're split across three different timelines?
Yes, and I know that's ridiculous, but it was you three who got yourselves split up in time in the first place, so I'm just doing my best.
No, we love it.
I mean, it makes my brain hurt, but yes, I love it too.
Thank you, okay. Stream, your first round will cover several months of work, while Penny, your round will only cover a matter of weeks. And Amara, when we get to you, it'll be pretty much real time. You've got to work together even though you're far apart. When you manage to pull off good ideas, learn about the Bone Kraken or Kathunkle, or help the city improve and prepare itself for the arrival of the Bone Kraken, those will all count as successes. And your mission to reunite and save Scum Hive in the process.
But I thought we had to defeat Turtok, who's like still in the future.
Yeah, but Turtok sent us here to the past, so maybe the future isn't even guaranteed anymore.
Zach, can I go first?
Stream has an idea.
Okay, we start off with Stream in the distant icy past, studying tomes in the Briny Spine bookstore beside the hero, known as Zoranoak Saltroot.
Hey, so, Zoro.
I prefer Zoranoak.
Duly Zora noted. So you lost your sword of what if, and coincidentally, Kathunkle's the ruler of the universe. I don't think that's a coincidence, is it? He stole the sword from you, went back in time, changed history, and now we're all in his frozen kingdom.
I'm honestly not sure. I've been stuck in this frozen town, and as I traveled through dimensions and time, using the power of the sword, I couldn't hold on to it with my mouth.
Wait, you hold your third sword in your mouth?
Yes, go back and listen to my first episode, it'll all make sense.
Hey, ZZ, I thought you said you had an idea.
Well, I figure if we can find this sword of if, we'll find Kathunkle, and either he or the sword itself can reunite me with my friends and get us all back to the present.
I love your plan, except it's so icy out there, and most of the world is frozen. I used all my saved up gold to set up this shop, to try to gather as much lore as I could from the snow and ice people who visited Scum Hive.
Oh, and what have you learned?
Not much. I'm a slow reader. Maybe you can help.
The Briny Spine is floor to ceiling stacks of books, scrolls, languages of lace and string, engraved objects, and various orbs and gems of knowledge. It could take a lifetime to read through all of it.
What if I make a holographic double of me in Saltroot, and they can help us scan the texts and other knowledge receptacles?
I love it. You can call this an easy learn role, since you'll be getting so much help.
Both of those were a 17 plus 3.
A total of 20? You said you wanted to learn about the Sword of If, right?
Yeah.
Well, you find a slimy scroll written on shed Squidipus skin and Kathunkle's own handwriting.
Awesome. Also yuck.
The story goes as follows.
Wait, is this a flashback within a time travel story?
Deal with it, sis!
It was the best of slimes. It was the blurst of slimes. After my embarrassment in giving Zoranoak the cursed Sword of If, I fled to this slime sea 1,000 years in Beren's past, and was, for once, at peace. Until I was attacked by a Bone Kraken who seemed to control the slime sea itself, adding prehistoric fossils, modern-day whale fall, and even bone-white bleached coral reefs to its mass. Our battle raged for weeks. The sea churned, and I was pushed back to a quaint seaside town known as Scumhaven.
"Please, remarkable Squidipus,"
said the mayor of Scumhaven, some sort of catfish person that looked delicious.
"Clearly you are the protector of our universe. Take the plenty gem of spirit use its power to defeat the Bone Kraken once and for all.
Reluctantly, the power of the people was held in my countless grasping limbs again. I held the Kraken at bay, but its power seemed only to grow alongside mine.
Carbuncle!
That little goblin child, known as Zachamedes.
We've had our differences, but I know you still have the plenty gem of fire within you.
I'd sort of forgotten eating it many seasons ago, but he was right.
It's me, the plenty gem of air,
said a large diamond statue in the shape of Fred the dog.
Wow, even with two plenty gems, you're still losing to the Bone Kraken. But, like, the whole future's in jeopardy if you lose, so I guess you can soak up all my plenty gem powers and just leave me as an immortal and very beautiful diamond statue of a doggy.
My power continued to grow, but like water itself, the Bone Kraken seemed to bend, flow, and adapt to everything I did.
Turtok here, Lolandra and I have...
Found the plenty gem of Earth, and we're giving it to you too, because Olaberend has voted you the king of the universe.
So can you please defeat...
this one single little incredibly huge slimy squid, and save the world rather than endangering it for a change.
All of these events were so unlikely, even in a fantasy setting. So I used the power of these four plenty gems to delve the Bone Kraken. And as I did, I heard a what-if question reverberate. It was Giovanna, who likes playgrounds, and asked, what if you could control the wind, the sun, the trees, and the houses? And so I threw them all at the Bone Kraken, evacuating half of Scumhaven, so I could throw all the biggest houses and trees, wielding the power of the earth, the sun, the wind, and my very spirit. But it was not enough.
The squid ink writing on the scroll trails off as the story ends.
So is Kathunkel writing this, like, mid-battle?
He's got countless appendages, each with their own mini-brain. I buy it.
Oh, okay. So I think this Bone Kraken somehow has the Sword of If, and
may also hold my friend captive.
Your friend?
Stream, you learned something important. Now let's cut ahead to Benipasta. The snow and ice people are no longer melting, thanks to your incredible gelato recipe. And you've been spending a lot of your time in the giant Pastapus form, helping to finish the second pier and start on the third. Ira Ice, who has ruled here ever since the fall of King Catfish, has taken to working beside you each day. You've helped us, Penipasta, more than I can ever say. Once the third pier is finished, enough ice skiffs and slime ships will be able to dock in our bay to safely transport every ice person and Snowpal back north, where it's safe.
Dano, why don't you sound happy about it?
King Catfish is thawing out. I'm just gonna hand Scumhive back to him and hit the slushy road myself, I think.
But Ice, Scumhive is your home.
For nigh 1,000 years now, yes.
Well, if you don't wanna leave, then you don't have to leave. Then why you gonna leave?
You haven't heard about the Bone Kraken yet, have you?
Oh, I heard the Sami people talk about a crack in their bones, but I'm all noodles, so why do I care?
They say when the ice sea becomes slime again, that the Bone Kraken will rise and pull Scumhive down into the depths.
Hey, well.
So I don't think anything short of a miracle will get these people to stay.
Zach, is there any, like, fruit growing in greenhouses or anything?
Sure, yeah. Ice and snow people need fruit, why wouldn't they?
Then Penipasta's gonna get all the fruit they can and whip up something the people of a Scumhive have never seen before.
Ira Ice follows you as you leave the docks, looking quizzical, but helping you carry fruit to the kitchens nonetheless.
I start chopping a fruit and gathering up ice to shave.
Oh, why don't you roll wonder to see how this turns out?
A 3. plus four.
The other chefs, who you've taught the gelato recipes to, start helping as well.
Crush this ice, puree that fruit, boil me down some fruity syrup.
I'll let you re-roll that d20 with all the help you're getting.
A 17!
17 plus 4? With a 21, your expert gelato chefs help you make what I'm guessing is Italian ice.
Classic granita, which is essentially Italian ice, yes, but it's so good.
With this new icy dessert sensation, instead of abandoning Scum Hive, many of the snow, slush, and ice people decide to stay and help you rebuild. And even many of the crews of the traveling ice skiffs and slime ships decide to stay and join Ira Ice's fleet.
Oh, the power of a food.
I mean, she's also a pretty good leader, but your gelato and granita definitely help. Now, Amara Stormtide, we're back in the present. The Bone Kraken reaching towards you. You see old coral reefs crusting up some limbs and pieces of mansions and castles attached to its bones and grown over with barnacles.
Would like a shocking snort help this situation at all?
Without rolling, I will tell you, you are certain that you cannot defeat the Bone Kraken on your own. But maybe you could try to slow it down, get some help.
Or recover that sword of if from its forehead.
That would probably be extremely dangerous, but
making extremely dangerous choices is what got Amara Stormtide here in the first place.
Yes.
All right, yeah, okay, so maybe I won't go for the sword right now. But I will see if I can tap into my ocean dragon powers to churn these slime seas and try to push the Kraken back, or at least slow it down.
Roll under.
Ooh, 5 plus 2.
You're on your own out here, Amara. And while the slime seas do respond to your call, the Kraken is as inexorable as the tide.
Oh, inexorable. Good vocab word.
A storm begins to gather in response to your power, and you feel even greater magics churning below the surface. It might be dangerous, but you could try to tap into them or go warn the town.
The town won't have a snowball's chance in slime against this thing. Unless maybe I can get the Sword of If. I will reach out with my storm magic and my ocean essence and try to use the wind itself to loosen that sword in its bone cracking skull. And, you know, maybe protect me from the stray tentacle or whatnot.
Normally, this would be a hard dare roll, but power swells within you and the winds obey your every whim. So you can roll a flat dare roll, a juvenile ocean dragon, against a kraken almost as vast as the sea.
Those are some pretty high stakes, but okay. That's an 11.
A colossal kraken bone tentacle reaches towards you as you near the loosened sword of it. You could get to it just as the tentacle comes down upon you, or you could veer aside at the last moment and save yourself.
Amara doesn't know where her friends are, but she's gonna trust in them and try to use the power of this sword to protect herself.
As you place a taloned hand upon the hilt of the cutlass, you see it change shape to resemble a classy detective's sword cane. And also at that very moment, the tentacle closes down upon you, except half of a castle. Dripping with sea slime and covered in barnacles, suddenly gathers over you, and the tentacle crashes down upon it. You take one hurt from falling debris, but you are safe for now. Stream, you will come to this challenge armed with special knowledge, thanks to your research at the Briny Spine. When the time is right, you can ask me to reveal something about Kathunkel, the Bone Kraken, time travel, or the Sword of If.
But not all four?
Nice try, ZZ.
What about a penny pasta?
They can use their community building and a city rebuilding to help call upon allies, ships, or Scum Hive city defenses.
And what about Amara Stormtide?
Well, you already got the call upon the houses, like from Giovanna's what-if question.
Well,
Okay, but one more time, you can call upon the wind, the sun, the trees, the houses, or the playgrounds to help you win this challenge.
Nice.
Stream, your holographic doubles wink out as an alarm suddenly blares throughout the city of Scumhive. You've been studying for many months, but the time for studies are over.
I head out toward the source of the alarm to see how I can be a helper.
And Zoranook Saltroot joins you. A sword of ice sitting in their scabbard to replace the sword of if.
I'm assuming we're in the summary future, present, whatever.
You are indeed in the summary future, present, whatever of Scumhive. And you see storm clouds on the horizon. And as you head towards the pier, you see...
Yes, me, a penny pasta, I presume.
Yes, indeed. The two of you are reunited. Ira Ice is getting ready to set sail in the fleet's greatest battleship, Zoranook, says Ira Ice. Some here see you're quite the pirate, or at least you used to be. Ching, ching, ching. What? You've got a sword in your mouth.
I said, does this answer your question? I've got three swords. I'm pretty cool, right?
Oh, no. It's ice cold. Welcome aboard.
Stream, where did you come from?
Oh, me and all my hollow noses have spent months sniffing out clues. Seems like you've been busy, too.
No time to discuss. I see storm clouds on the horizon.
Where there's storm clouds, there's probably storm tide. You think she's out there?
If there's a trouble, you know our friend is a flying into it.
As you set sail on the Gelateria, you finally see the Bone Kraken appear on the horizon.
Ooh, can I make a bunch of lightning bolts that spell out help in the sky?
And then a bunch of lightning bolts thunderously spell out help right above the Kraken's bony mantle.
Oh, what's the matter for you?
How long have you been waiting to say that, Scully?
Pretty much since we first started playing.
And with that, we'll pause our adventure.
Oh,
I knew it.
Every time, just when things get interesting.
As usual, what I thought would be a two-part adventure has turned into a three-part adventure. But there's a lot of what-if worlds colliding here. And we'll be back next week with the exciting conclusion. And while you're waiting, you can call or write in with your own what-if questions.
Or you could grab some dice and tell your version of the story.
Come up with your own ideas of how the Cryptid Kids will face the Bone Kraken.
How they might save Amara Stormtide.
And if they'll ever figure out what happened to Kathunkle, my uncle.
Use your dice rolls and your imagination to see how your ideas work out.
When you roll high, luck is with you. And when you roll low, you get to face new challenges.
And if your adventures inspire what-if questions, get your grown-up's permission to share them by emailing hello@whatifworldpodcast.com or calling 205-605-WHAT. That's 9428. Toll free in the U.S. We'd like to thank Karen and Eric O'Keefe, creators of What If World.
Our producer, Miss Lynn. Craig Martinson for our theme song.
And all you kids at home who know that the first part of getting help is asking for it. And until we adventure again, keep wondering.
The International Children's Arts Network is community funded, supported by listeners like you, and by a grant from the Joyce N. Furman Memorial Trust, celebrating a lifetime of giving to children, education, and the arts.